Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking. It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Xavier Rose.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer from Austin, Tampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
It's a strong draft class.
It is absolutely stacked.
Touchdown, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Backed up and taken down by Jared Curse. It's broken up by Darian Arnold.
The field and it's intercepted. Arnold.
Daniels. Back right corner of the end zone. Dropped it in. He's got Bowers.
They take it down behind the line of scrimmage. Dallas Turner chased him down.
To the end zone.
Williams takes a shot up the field at Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here tonight kicking off more NFL draft coverage. Elijah, what's up, man? It's getting closer.
Oh, man. It's getting closer, and it's getting closer to me being annoyed.
Exactly. I'm right on the board with you there. We got our 3.0 mock coming up here in our second hour here tonight. Luke is having a little personal issue, so, you know, best with him. He probably won't be here with us tonight, which means that opens the door for a little Stan and 8-Count Radio, if you ask me, Elijah, in the second half. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. I'm kind of behind in my boxing.
That's okay. We could just talk general sense, general state. It's all good. We got a lot to talk about. Opening day is also today. A lot of fun with it. But we're not going to waste any time. We are going to jump straight into it. Right off the back, we gotta bring back one of our favorites, Carlos Sanchez. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, just fantastic. Ready to talk football. We started getting this going here, and one of the first things we had to do was, well, we got to get Carlos in here. We got to get him in the switchboard because we figured everything out a couple of years ago to knock this whole thing out, make it work. And dang it, I'm excited because Jacksonville, you guys are on the clock at 17. And you know the question I'm going to ask you like I do every year. Where's your headspace going into this first round, Carlos?
Well, I believe they find themselves in an interesting situation because they addressed several needs in free agency, but they still have the opportunity to improve even more. For example, they signed Ronald Darby, cornerback, but they're going to be in the position to take one of the top prospects, whether it's Nate Wiggins or Cooper DeJean, Quinnen Mitchell. So they could definitely go cornerback or they could target a wide receiver. They lost Calvin Ridley. They signed Gabe Davis, but they still need a replacement for Calvin Ridley, which Gabe Davis isn't. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go wide receiver or cornerback. Maybe they could even go pass rusher. I mean, they're going to have the chance to go after Dallas Turner or Chop Robinson, and that's the thing that we don't really know how the top 15 is going to play out. I believe the first four picks are going to be quarterbacks. What do you guys think? But based on how the top 10, top 15 plays out, I believe they have different routes. The Jaguars have different routes, and they're not locked in, or they're not, they haven't cornered themselves. They're in a position to take the best player available.
So, Carlos, Elijah here. There's a lot of things the Jags could do. Personally, what do you think they should do? What players specifically or players are you looking at, or what position would you like to target, or, you know, whatever, like, who do you think that they should pick?
Personally, I would go with Brian Thomas Jr. As I mentioned, they signed Gabe Davis in free agency, but he's not a number one receiver. He's a deep threat, sure. He has never topped more than – he's never had more than 600 yards in a season, but I believe he can stretch the field, yet he's not that receiver. They have Christian Kirk, who's an excellent slot, but they need that number one receiver, and I would go with Brian Thomas because they're not going to be in the position to draft Romo Dunes or the neighbors, Marvin Harris Jr. But even at number 17, they're going to be in a position to take Brian Thomas Jr. So yeah, I would go with him. And if he's not the one, if I had to go cornerback, I would have to go with Terrion Arnold probably. But my first choice would be Brian Thomas Jr.
That's what's up.
I like the Terrion Arnold thing. I've been the guy that thinks everyone's sleeping on Quinion Mitchell, so I'm kind of hoping he goes in there. But I look at your guys's, you know, I look at blackandteal.com, and you wrote an interesting article about, obviously I see Quinion Marshall's name on there, but a lot with Brian Murphy at defensive tackle at 17, kind of going over just some of the stuff. Where's kind of the headspace with that going on here with the Jaguars?
Oh, no, totally. I would love to take Murphy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's a playmaker, especially they would be able to bring him along slowly next to Aaron Armstead. They just signed Armstead in free agency, and it would be great to pair them together. I mean, Murphy's... I don't want to compare him to Aaron Donald, but he's got more or less the same traits. Like he can defend the run, he can get after the quarterback, but I think his biggest downside is that he doesn't have the prototypical size to play defensive tackle in the NFL. Yet, I guess he would be a great addition. I believe that if they hadn't signed Armstead in free agency, Actually, Murphy would be my pick if they hadn't signed Armstead in free agency. But I mean, I see why it would make sense. But at the same time, I think they have bigger needs to address.
Yeah, Carlos, I was going to go back to the Brian Thomas talk. Like, if I were the Jaguars, I would take Brian Thomas at 17 as well. Like, this receiver class is so stacked, and I mean, at 17 with Brian Thomas, you're still getting a guy who has potential to be like an alpha number one receiver. So I think that's kind of hard to pass up, especially when Calvin Ridley is no longer on the team, and you know, you want to have targets for Trevor Lawrence. And Gabe Davis is pretty good, but he's pretty inconsistent. So yeah, I wanted to comment on what you were saying about Brian Thomas, and I totally agree with you.
Oh, no, totally. And that's the thing that I guess the past two or three years, yeah, I believe the past 2 years, the Jaguars signed Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, and they were inconsistent too. So I think that makes me feel confident about the Gabe Davis signing because of Trevor Lawrence or because of the system, they have been able to get the most out of the receivers they brought in. I mean, before signing with the Jaguars, Christian Kirk hadn't had a 1,000-yard season, and Zay Jones had never crossed the 700-yard mark. But then with the Jaguars, they took off, and I believe Gabe Davis is going to have a similar arc. I believe on the top of my head, he has never had more than 600 yards. I think he's going to have around like 700 or 800, but yet, that shouldn't stop them from continuing to to add weapons to the offense. So, and especially and precisely because they already took care of other needs in free agency, they're in a position to take the best player available. And in this case, I guess their best choice would be Brian Thomas because they could trade for T. Higgins or they could trade off to take Romo Dunes, for example. But I think they're better off staying put, saving money and draft picks and just going with somebody like Thomas at number 17.
Is that kind of the general consensus right now out in Duval there with we need to just get some more weapons around Lawrence, or is there not really a worry, like you said, we just kind of can take that best player available?
I don't think there's a consensus, to be honest, right? And I think, the case could be made. The case could be made to go wide receiver, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go cornerback too. Tyson Campbell is going to be a free agent next season, and Ronald Darby is more of a stopgap solution. So they're going to need to revamp their cornerback room the next 2 years, within the next 2 years. They most definitely need to add another cornerback. They signed Darnell Savage, but he's going to play. He used to play safety, but now he's going to line up at nickel. They let Trey Herndon go on, but he was the top backup the previous year, last year, I mean. So there's a case to be made to go cornerback. They could also upgrade their pass rush rotation. Trayvon Walker has improved and Josh Allen is coming off a breakout season, but they need a number three pass rusher. So I wouldn't be surprised either if they go with somebody like Chop Robinson from Penn State. Mm. So going back to your question, I don't think there's a consensus, but more like different options they can take. Some analysts from CS Sports or PFF, they have even suggested that they should go offensive tackle. So I think that's the position they're in, that they don't have a particular need, but they could improve at pretty much every position except quarterback.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but my dog is kind of freaking out. I was focused on my dog.
No, I got you. I got you. I'll just jump in, Elijah. You guys did get a couple compository picks that were given to you guys, and overall have what 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 picks in the draft. 48, 96 are always good spots. Day two. What are you looking for day two on that Friday night out of the Jags?
I think it's more or less the same thing. Whatever they don't address in the first round, they will in the second and third round. So let's say they go wide receiver in the first, they're going to probably take a cornerback in the second and third. So I think the way I would see it and the way I've seen it is that their top three needs right now are wide receiver, cornerback, and pass rush. And depending on how the draft plays out, depending how it unfolds, that's the position they're going to address. And then they're going to take a look to the next one and so on. And that's the thing, as you pointed out, this is going to be a deep wide receiver class, so they could wait until the second round to take one. And yeah. I think and the same is true for the cornerback class too. They could take a wide receiver or a pass rusher in the first round and then select a cornerback in the second. So I think those three needs are, from my point of view, they're interchangeable, those three top needs the Jaguars have right now.
You got something, Elijah? I'm sorry. I'll let him keep handling his business.
I'm back.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey. Sorry, I had to take care of it.
It happens to the rest of us, bro.
I was going to ask, Carlos, are there any, deep sleepers or kind of unheralded guys that you're looking at the Jaguars to try and pick up, like, in the later rounds of the draft? Like, do you have any sleepers that you like, that you would like the Jaguars draft?
I haven't gone as far. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and just, like pick names out of a hat. I haven't gone that far, but, for example, I would like them to go with somebody like Zach Sinter or Christian Mahogany in the third or fourth. And I think that's the thing, that many times we expect guys to be drafted in the second or third round, and next thing you know, they fell to the fourth or fifth. So I would like to see them having a chance to draft Christian Mahogany or Zach Sinter in the third or fourth round. I think that would be as close as I can think of a sleeper pick.
You know, you're right, though. There's so many good receivers and corners, and I know we say that a lot of times, that there's always, oh, we know there's great wide receivers and there's great corners and, you know, yada yada, but I mean, you really look at this draft, and I mean, you get rid of the Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Thomases, you know, I mean, there's 10, 11 guys that still seem like they can compete, and they think you guys are going to be in a slot where, you know, if one of those Texas kids fall, Troy Franklin falls, Xavier Leggett, Jalen Polk, you know, the other kid from Washington, there's a lot of weapons, Jalen McMillan, that really could do some damage on that team. And I feel like Jacksonville, you know, we talk about this, you know, a lot. I think this team is so poised and in a spot that they should be doing something more than what they're doing, but there's always just something that randomly comes in. This last year, a CJ Stroud appeared, you know. you can't plan for those kind of roadblocks in your division, and I start to wonder how long kind of a leash are they gonna have before it's, you know, you need to make a run or it's bust.
I totally agree with that. I mean, many of those roadblocks were of their own making, not revamping the roster last year, not having the depth to overcome injuries, coaching matters too. So leaving aside CJ Stroud, I would be concerned about other needs. But at the same time, you can point to the positives, the negatives. I mean, not everything is gloom and doom. So, and that's the thing. I was talking to a friend of mine that, I mean, just recently, like a couple months ago, Peyton Manning reminded everybody that he got off to a rough start, that process isn't linear. So, and it's funny because I was a youngster back in the day, and I remember how he was blasted for not being able to beat the Patriots in the playoffs. So it would be interesting to see how much he would get blasted on social media, Peyton Manning, that is, for not getting over the hump early in his career. And what I'm trying to convey here is that I'm not trying to say that Trevor Lawrence is as talented as Peyton Manning or that the Jaguars are going to become a dynasty, but the point I'm trying to make is that process isn't linear. You can acknowledge that they regressed last year because of their own mistakes, but at the same time, there are plenty of things to like. Precisely Trevor Lawrence, I mean, even though he regressed, he gave them a chance to win nearly every week. They have a solid foundation. I believe Doug Peterson is the correct head coach to take them to the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that he has a good shot as anybody. So I mean, the pieces are there. There have been mistakes along the way, most definitely. But at the same time, there are plenty of things to like. Josh Allen's career year, Trevon Walker improvement. So yes, it's going to be a tough road, especially in the AFC South, with the Titans. The Titans, the Texans, they have been busy too in free agency, so it's going to be tougher to win the division this year, but at the same time, I think that they have a shot the Jaguars, that is. I believe they have a shot to win the division again this year, despite their own mistakes, whether it's coaching. And that's the other thing, that, for example, coaching was an issue last year, especially on defense. They weren't tackling. They were blowing coverage assignments. So they fired Mike Caldwell, and they brought in Ryan Nielsen because they wanted the defense to bounce back. So there have been mistakes again, but at the same time, they're doing their best to claim the division back again.
I got one more thing I wanted to ask you about, and kind of circle back to 2 years ago, was a guy that had the huge upside, but not, it wasn't the consensus, but they went with him, and I think it's kind of starting to turn in the right direction. But you know, what's kind of your 2 year review of Trayvon Walker, who we had you on here mocking at number one actually a couple years ago?
Actually, it's been an interesting process, but I'm sorry, let me repeat that. I think it's been an interesting process. Again, process isn't linear, and I think much is expected, rightfully so, from the number one pick. But if he were any other first rounder, let's say he was picked at number 9 or 10, expectations would be a little tempered. He's there, and I think precisely he's going to benefit from the arrival of Ryan Nielsen. So things are looking up, definitely, but at the same time, much more is expected. So it's something similar with the Jaguars. There are some positives, but much is expected too. Now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I think Trayvon Walker or the Trayvon Walker pick is a representation of the Jaguars because they can do more. They're trending in the right direction, but they need to make the leap in 2024. But yeah, the talent is there. The flashes are there. He registered a 10-sack season last year. Now with Ryan Nielsen, I want to put an emphasis on his arrival. I mean, they're going to switch from 3-4 to 4-3. So he's going to go back to playing with his hand in the ground. And that's going to help him a lot because back as a rookie, he made the transition to outside linebacker, but now he's going to be back in his element.
I'm intrigued. I like Jacksonville. I think they got a good shot. I went as Trevor Lawrence for Halloween, damn it. I had the headband and everything. So I'm a backer. I'm ready to go with it.
And of course. And I think that's the thing. I mean, like any other thing, I mean, there are many things to like. And, of course, you have to point out the negatives. I mean, I think we have to be balanced because they have improved a lot over the past 2 years. I mean, I remember I started covering them back in 2020. I mean, there wasn't much to celebrate back in the day. I mean, that year they finished 1-15. Then the following year, Urban Meyer arrived. I mean, so... So my point is that things could be better, but they're definitely much better than they were 2 years ago. Hopefully that makes
Urban
sense.
Urban Meyer hanging out in the bar.
Yeah, getting frisky, right? Like, what the heck, man? Like, everybody's watching you. Like, how could you do that? But that's the thing, like, It's okay to acknowledge the negatives, but at the same time, acknowledge the progress they've made, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely a better team, and they'll be tough. I think they're going to be competitive for a little bit. Carlos, glad we can get you on to kick it off, man, the way I like to start the show. About 3 weeks, that Wednesday, the day before the draft, we got our honorary mock, Carlos, so if you're free, you know we got to have you back. And
oh, definitely,
not,
guys.
Pick at number one this year.
No, that would be fine. I would love to be on the show. Totally. It would be great, guys.
Heck, yeah. Well, we'll reach out as we get closer. And, you know, we'll have more talk as the season comes on, team previews, more draft and all. Carlos, plug everything you got, my guy. We love having you. You always have great material to read. Where can all of our newer listeners who may not have heard you last year go to read your stuff?
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. So I mostly write at blackandteal.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at HairuHurricane#H. I guess it's a... I used to like video games a lot, so so that's where my hashtag. I mean,
that's okay. It's a little Zelda, right? Little Legend of Zelda in there.
It was actually Street Fighter, but yeah, Zelda too. Zelda rocks too.
Oh, I was thinking Hyrule Castle. I should have noticed the Hadouken. I am a Ken aficionado after all.
There you go. That's what's up.
I once beat Street Fighter V in Tokyo on one quarter in an arcade to turn around to 8 or 9 men in full suits going Gaijin, Gaijin, and clapping. And I was,
that's what's up.
I thought I made it. That was my day. I've made it in this world. Carlos, man, appreciate you coming on, and we'll reach out soon to get that set up for the draft. All right.
No, thanks for having me in, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks again. We'll talk soon, ladies and gentlemen. Carlos Sanchez, blackandteal.com, coming through as always. Yeah, first couple times we had him on, all he did was draft with the first pick. And this year, it's like, guess what? You get to pick at 17. ain't no more first for you. I mean, yeah, because I think the first time we had him was right before Lawrence went, 2021.
Wow.
And then he came back 2022 with Trayvon Walker. Okay, we'll see you next year. Hopefully not in the same spot. Because if that's the case, this draft did not work. But no, it panned it out for the most part. They're a tough team. They're competitive, I think. I've always had a soft spot just because I've always liked their uniforms. Like a guy I referenced in our group chat. What was his name? Blackman. I don't know why I always forget his first name. Yeah, I thought that
Blackman.
Dude was going to be the deal, man.
Well, when he played, he was pretty good, but he couldn't stop drinking.
Yeah, that was the end. He didn't last very long. He was so tight in college, too.
Yeah.
Who was his quarterback that was throwing him the ball when he went to Jacksonville?
Chad Henne, maybe?
Oh, goodness. No wonder he was.
But he was, like, when he played, he was pretty good, but he just couldn't stop getting suspended.
Yeah, so he got drafted. Yeah, God, even his Wikipedia just is all. What a disappointing.
Another disappointing Jags receiver, Reggie Nelson. Yeah. Remember him?
Oh, is he the Gator?
No. No, I think he was Washington, maybe.
Might have been.
Or maybe he was Florida. I can't remember, but Reggie Nelson. Like,
man.
Or it wasn't Reggie Nelson. It was Reggie something.
In 2012, their coach was Mike Mularkey. They went 2-14 his rookie year. Blaine Gabbert was throwing him the ball. It was Justin Blackman and Cecil Shorts.
Cecil Shorts.
Then they had Mike Brown, Quan Cosby, Kevin Elliott, LaRon Robinson, Jordan Shipley, Isaiah Standback, Michael Spurlock, and Mike Thomas.
it was Reggie Williams. That's who it was.
Reggie Williams. Reggie Nelson was like the safety or whatever from Florida.
Yeah. And Reggie Williams did go to Washington, and he was the 9th overall pick in the 2004 draft.
Bengals is, yep. So he was a Gator. He went to the Bengals. Okay. I knew there was a Reggie Nelson that was running like on the sidelines. And I couldn't remember if it was on offense or defense, but I knew there was a Reggie Nelson. He was in the, what draft was he in? Wow. He was born, he's 1983. So he's my age, 2007 draft.
We are now going down the Reggie rabbit hole.
Pretty soon we're going to talk about Reggie Ragland. He was going to like saying his name. That was the Jamarcus Russell's draft.
Oh, man.
Do you remember? I probably won't. I would have never got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected that draft.
The Jamarcus Russell draft?
It was Jamarcus Russell, Kelvin Johnson, Joe Thomas, and they took Gaines Adams.
Yes, out of Clemson. Wasn't he like a D-end out of Clemson?
Yeah, yeah. Gaines Adams. Levi Brown, LeBron Landry, AP. Atlanta gets the second Jamal Anderson, Ted Ginn. That was the Patrick Willis draft. Wow.
LeBron Landry, a.k.a. David Boston Jr.
Then Reggie Nelson went right before Brady Quinn and Dwayne Bowe.
Brady Quinn.
Man, that's funny. That is funny. Anyway, let's keep the train moving as we are moving on to our next team. Travis, you with us, sir?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, how we doing? Travis Wakeman coming in here.
Doing well, man.
One of our all-timers, he was a big proprietor in our mock drafts when, like, 2 years ago it was a terrible mock draft, and we redrafted on air and said we're doing this over. I will not forget that. But, Travis, man, great to have you back. Real quick, as always, you know I want you to get plugs out. Let everyone know who you are that maybe hadn't heard you over the last couple of years and what you've been doing, man.
Travis Wakeman, writer, lead site expert over at Predominantly Orange. You can find me on Twitter, TravisWakeman10. Yeah, just writing articles over there covering the Broncos since 2012.
So I got to ask you right off the bat, you're directly after the Vikings. You're after our pick. It's pick 12. This has been the weirdest. I don't know how many teams are trading left and right and up, down, just as like a general ballpark, not really talking about players per se yet, because we'll get into that. What is the odds you guys stay at 12 when this is all said and done?
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago about how the Vikings just completely blew our draft plans with that trade with the Texans because, you know, they got the firepower to move ahead of us now. I don't think the odds of us staying at 12 are high. I think there's a trade up or down no matter what.
Yeah, I was wondering, there seems to be a lot of steam that whether you guys stay at 12 or that you guys trade down, that you guys are going to take Bo Nix. How do you feel about that?
I think if they stay at 12 or if they trade down, it's absolutely going to be Bo Nix as the target. My favorite idea is to trade down because I hate the fact that we don't have a second-round pick. So if they can somehow trade down and acquire a second-round pick, I do think that's the way to go.
Is Bo Nix your guy, though?
He's not my guy. He's a lot
we
of Broncos
fan
guy.
We want to give him to
guy.
You. I guess is where I think we're going.
He's a Sean Payton guy.
What's that?
He's a Sean Payton guy, it seems like. It seems like,
well,
Payton's like desperate.
That's the talk, that he is a Sean Payton guy. He's drawn a lot of the Drew Brees comparisons. But he just doesn't excite me in the least. I think he'd be the safe pick, and I think that's why they look at him there.
Yeah, I don't think he throws the ball down the field as well as Drew Brees did, or like has the anticipation skills or like the ability to kind of throw guys open like Drew Brees did. I do feel like out of all the quarterbacks, he is one of the guys that probably has the highest floor though, and probably one of the guys that you can just kind of plug in right away and start, and he could be decent. But, yeah, just like you and Ryan say, like, he doesn't excite me in the least bit at all. And I don't think the Vikings are in on him, but I hope they aren't.
Yeah, I think with the extra pick that they acquired, that from the Texans. I think the Vikings are going to be one of those teams trading into the top five, and they won't be doing that to draft him. So I think you guys are probably free of that worry.
You know, and I'll say this. I've been a big Penix guy since the beginning of the year even. I don't know, there's something about Penix that I'm really into. I really, really think he could fit on this team with what we have. How do you kind of rate these quarterbacks? Like, who's your – this is the number one guy, and then all the way to I could leave him before I take him, I guess, if you have anyone like that.
I feel like every time I come on your show, I have a little bit of a much different thinking than a lot of people do. I always throw a wild card in there. I'm going to throw a wild card at you. I think, you know, you got the top three guys. I think those are pretty across the board with Williams, Daniels, and May. The guy I like and have liked is Spencer Rattler. I think especially in a trade down scenario where you could get him in the second or maybe even in the third round, that's a guy that would be exciting to me instead of, you know, as compared to somebody like Bo Nix. Spencer Rattler is not getting a lot of talk. He's not getting a lot of hype. And I think people are missing there. I think that would be a very intriguing pick for the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Ryan isn't very high in Spencer Rattler, but
I noticed
I feel like
his non-reaction there.
I feel like
I didn't like Oklahoma dudes back in the day.
I feel like he's one of the quarterbacks in this draft that is probably going to be a better pro than he was in college. And, like, he has the talent. Like, the arm talent is on him is just ridiculous. Like, he's got one of those kind of elastic, like, arms where he can throw just piss missiles from any angle.
Yeah.
He might be able to make some of those Mahomes throws.
Yeah, he's got Mahomes-ish abilities with throwing, kind of like Caleb Williams does.
Definitely.
And I feel like he's kind of over his maturity things. I mean, I feel like going to South Carolina kind of caused him to grow up a little bit because he was in a pretty bad situation in South Carolina. Offensive line, it's probably one of the worst offensive lines for a Power 5 team in the country, and he's playing in the SEC. And outside of Xavier Leggett, who else did he have as a weapon? So, yeah, like, I would be intrigued by Spencer Rattler as well. I think he's a guy that no one's talking about, and he's a guy that could, like I said, prove to be a lot better in the pros than he was in college.
I'm with you.
Where's your head at on J.J. McCarthy? That seems to be the big one the Vikings are linked up to, and I don't know. I feel like if we don't have to trade up, I'm okay, but if we trade up, I don't like it.
That's a guy I knew would come into the conversation here. He, I feel like, is the most exciting player to talk about in this whole class because of, you know, the unpredictability of where he's going to end up. You've probably heard recent buzz of him even going in second overall to the Commanders. So whether that's true or not, who knows? But his upside is definitely there. I love the fact that he's still very young. He comes from a pro-style offense at Michigan where they just obviously won it all. So I do think the Vikings are in on him, and I do think if the Vikings trade up, it's likely either for him or Drake May. But that's the move I wanted to see the Broncos make until, you know, the Vikings acquired this extra pick. So I don't know how we're going to get around that. I don't know that the Broncos have the firepower to move up. I mean, they do, but, you know, there was a mock draft I saw yesterday where the Broncos are giving up a first rounder next year and in 2026 just to come up 8 slots. I don't know. After the whole Russell Wilson debacle, I don't know that this team would have the audacity to do that, to be honest with you. But you got to get the guy that you want. And if that's – there's no doubt that Sean Payton has his eyes locked on one guy. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just a matter of who that guy is. it could possibly be McCarthy. And if it is, then you, maybe you see the Broncos make a shocking trade like that one.
So I think we've talked a lot about quarterbacks. Who are some guys in this draft, like non-quarterback guys in this draft, that you would like to see the Broncos go after, or guys that you've been kind of looking at that you like in the draft that aren't quarterbacks?
It's funny because I feel like we have this conversation every time I come on your show. The only thing I do in Denver is talk about a quarterback because we haven't had one forever.
You were hyped for us, so, weren't you?
Of course. I mean, yeah, every Broncos fan was. So we don't even really get too far into looking into other prospects, especially this year. But if somehow they could acquire a guy like Brock Bowers, I love that. I think he's the best tight end prospect in a long time. And that's a, you know, it's not necessarily the team's biggest need, but if you could somehow take him after a trade down, you know, say they trade down to like the 18 to 20 range, acquire a second round pick as well, and then take a guy like him if he's still there, I think that'd be a great move. Outside of him, man, the team, I mean, you look at the depth chart, they need somebody at basically every position. So, you know, I think everybody's pretty attractive in this draft for the Broncos. Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. You know, he's another guy if you want to go that route. But, man, I think there'd be a revolution here in Denver if the Broncos do anything but take a quarterback in the first round.
Any thought about Jared Verse at 12? I know you guys need that defensive tackle and edge, and I know he can kind of fill that edge kind of role. And I think like it's too early for one of the two tackles at 12.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Broncos need that premier edge guy. They have a lot of, you know, B-rated edge guys like Baron Browning and Bonito, Jonathan Cooper. Those are all basically the same player. They don't have that dynamic edge guy. So I think you could make an argument for taking Verse, but you got to get that quarterback sometime, and without having a second-round pick,
yeah,
I don't know when you'd do it.
So I've heard this kind of hypothetical. Since the Broncos don't have a lot of draft capital to give up, to move up, that they would maybe consider giving up, adding Patrick Surtain Jr. as part of a package to move up. Would you hate that, or how would you feel about that?
I wouldn't hate it after the moves the team's already made. The release of Justin Simmons being at the top of that list, that signaled to everybody that, like, hey, we're starting this from the ground floor. And if Surtain has to go as a result of that, I mean, you're giving up arguably the best cornerback in football, so hopefully the return you'd get would be worth it. But I think a lot of other teams know how desperate the Broncos are too, so I don't think the return would be as good as it could be. But if he's included in a package, yeah, I wouldn't hate it. I would get it.
What do you kind of want later on in this draft, you know, as we get into the end of Friday, Saturday type thing? Where are the pieces that you hope that this team can at least bring in for all those, you know, dance partners that apparently every position needs?
Yeah, well, if you're going to get your quarterback, you got to give him some guys to work with. And, you know, Adam Trautman and Tim Patrick are probably not going to be the type of guys that make him a superstar. So I think you need the weapons to build for him to build with too. You need to add another wide receiver. You need to get a tight end sometime. So I think, you know, giving him some players to work with, it would be key as well. Defensive line. I mean, I look at the Broncos defensive line and I don't think there's a worse one in the league at the moment. The
Vikings,
so Vikings, right there.
Vikings.
Okay, Vikings.
He went for it.
But it's thin, and they need a lot more depth there. So they need to find a guy, you know, that can plug up the middle. They need a guy that can come off the edge. They just need, you know, it's too bad we don't have like 25 draft picks because we need them.
Start trading everybody for picks. Oh my gosh, it's an exciting draft, man. I know we always talk about how there's so much going on in this draft, but it's just every day there's something new, and it's great. I mean, it's coverage. It's something we all need, you know, in media, and I can't wait for this draft. I think after Caleb Williams, it's a crapshoot. I think it's
agree.
More open than it's been in, I mean, years. What do you give the odds? This is the last thing I got for you here. What are the odds that we see a repeat of that Trevor Lawrence draft where, you know, 10 quarterbacks go and we see one that pans out really?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I'd say, I think the quarterbacks in this class are pretty good. I think a lot of them are going to pan out. It's going to depend on their landing spots. But I think you're going to have four or five great quarterbacks out of this class. So I wouldn't say there's great odds of that.
We kind of did it more as an exercise a couple weeks ago. But, you know, you look at that draft with Lawrence and Fields and Mac Jones and so on and so forth, Trey Lance, and it was just like, holy cow, like, none of these guys did anything after number one. And I don't know. I feel I'm in your boat where there's so much talent. But then again, Luke, who's not here with us, but unfortunately he's got an issue going on, is going to be picking a fist fight if we take Bo Nix at 11. So there's a lot of interesting things that could come with even more than a bad quarterback spot. I do say so myself. So
yeah,
I
think this class is a lot better than that one. But again, you know, a Commanders quarterback is just, I don't remember the last good one. Guy going to the Patriots he's going to have his work cut out for him, just like Mac Jones did. So a lot of it's just going to be going to the right place.
Is that one of those things too, like not to keep on with it, but I always kind of question, do you think Mac Jones got a raw end? Like they should have gave him a couple weapons before they just kicked him out.
I know it's so random
and we have a Patriots person coming on in 45, but you sparked my interest. Like, man, I never thought Mac Jones was going to be that good anyway, but
yeah, I'm kind of with surprised. You. I don't think it really would have mattered there. I think he's a backup quarterback. I don't know that he would have been a stellar guy no matter who he had with him.
Three of the top 15 picks were quarterbacks that have all been traded. It's wild to think so. For like sixth round picks too. It's maddening.
Yeah. And a lot of those quarterbacks are now backups too. Like they didn't even get traded to be starters. They got traded to be backups. Like,
look, they should,
just nuts.
They should have gave us Justin Fields. We could have gave him a good home. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he would have looked nice with Jefferson. Travis, man, I greatly appreciate you coming back. It's always a pleasure. You know, as normal, the 25th, I think it is, we're doing our annual mock. So if you're around and want to get it on that pick 12 or beyond, just let us know so we can have you announce, hopefully, Bo Nix at 12.
Absolutely. I'll take part in it for sure.
Appreciate it. Travis, throw them plugs one more time for me, man.
Check me out at Predominantly Orange, covering the Broncos. You can find me on Twitter at Travis Wakeman, the number 10.
We love it. Thanks again, Travis. We'll talk soon, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. Thank you for having me.
As always, Travis Wakeman, one of the GOATs, ladies and gentlemen. What are the big be all end alls here with the sports guest?
That was a good interview.
Yeah, he's always great. He's always great. Love having him on. Last year, him and Paul Pickin helped me and Luke we ran the draft and we had, I think it was like our biggest turnout. I don't think there's any teams me and Luke drafted for. I think we literally had every team covered. And then when the draft was over, we were like, that was trash. You guys want to redo it? Then the four of us redid the draft. We're like, we need to try to make this better. It was like when, remember when we had the draft board up and the Mahomes and Watkins draft where we had like half the people, like we filled this bitch last year and some of them were like, oh my goodness, what is going on with this draft? That's not what we expected, but I digress. That's not what they're, oh, I got the hiccups. Oh, that's not good. Hopefully these go away. Breaking news.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Power Five.
Oh, I always forget that's not a real breaking news. Hassan Reddick has been traded. Did you see this?
I did not. Who has he been traded to?
Hassan Reddick has been sent to the New York Jets.
Interesting.
And the number two, it was some draft picks.
Oh.
A sixth round pick. Or a conditional 2026 third. And if Reddick reaches 67.5% playing time and 10 sacks, it becomes a second rounder.
Interesting.
Essentially they just switched edge rushers because Bryce Huff then went to Philly. So they just kind of flipped guys. But NC State defeating the number two seeded Marquette.
Whoa, that's the second. Isn't that the second number two to go down in, like, the last day? Like, North Carolina was a 2-seed, too, weren't they? And then Arizona was a 2-seed, too, weren't they?
Yep, Arizona got beat by Clemson, who's in their second ever Wake Forest. Or Wake Forest, what the hell am I talking about? Elite Eight, or Sweet 16.
People's brackets were probably looking pretty good up until, the past couple days, I bet. It's a lot of number two seeds to be like out.
Also real interesting. Ice Cube has offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play in the Big Three.
I've seen that.
That's interesting. I know this is a conversation we never talk about, and I'm going to be honest, we'll probably never talk about again, but because it's one of those once in a instant situation. And I've heard a couple, the talking heads, some of the smarter people on ESPN, the Jalen Roses and some of the smarter basketball minds, they think she could be the one to maybe finally get eyes on the WNBA because of how good the college ratings are. You think she could be the one to finally get somebody to watch that damn thing?
Yeah, probably. Like, she's probably the biggest star for women's basketball since like Lisa Leslie.
Yeah. I immediately, the first thing I thought about was, can she do what they thought? Like, I remember the first ever WNBA game. It was in New York and LA. Lisa Leslie versus Rebecca Lobo was like the big first game. And Leslie tried to dunk. She got blocked by the rim, I think. And then nobody cared about the game after that.
Lisa Leslie actually did end up dunking in a game, though.
I know she ended up doing it, but I remember one of the first plays they gave her the fast break, and it was like, oh, here she goes, and it was like, oh no. And then Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper just destroyed everybody's lives, and it didn't matter.
I think.
And Cheryl Miller.
I think Caitlin Clark could bring some attention to the WNBA. It's just hard because it's such a niche, crowd. And honestly, I don't like women's basketball. They use fundamentals more, and it's just more of a team game. And I don't know. I feel like if people actually sat down and watched it, it might be somewhat entertaining. They might find it somewhat entertaining, but
some of those the tournament games are pretty fun. I enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of it, and I think piggybacking off of what you said, I feel it's like boxing to MMA in a way. Like, not the popularity, but like the NBA is like the NBA is like the UFC. It's dunks and action and blocks and roar, you know, and fireworks and shit. And the WNBA is like fundamentals, like boxing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you got to, I think with like what you said, you got to have an appreciation to watch it and enjoy it, or you're not going to get into it.
Yeah. I agree. Definitely.
I was always jocking just because of Kobe, Sabrina Ionescu. So I watched some New York Liberty games.
She's a flamethrower.
Yeah, she was tight. She's got some handles.
And she can shoot.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the ticket, is you get put those two together opening night or something.
I was gonna say Paige Becker's probably going to the WNBA soon. She probably can bring some star power.
Is she the girl Angel out of South Carolina?
No, she's on UConn. She's from UConn, Minnesota. Okay. And she's got injured. She's like considered one of the, like, she was huge until she like had like two ACLs or something, and now she's kind of working her way back. But
that's,
like,
yeah,
number one, like,
she was killing it before she got hurt.
Number one high school player in the country, like, huge hype.
And Gina Oriello was just talking about her too.
And then you have Angel Reese, like, the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark rivalry could bring some people into the WNBA too. Like,
which one? Who is
it? It'll be interesting. Angel Reese.
LSU. Her
and Caitlin Clark kind of have a
good. That's a good. You know, maybe you're onto something. That's what they need.
So
yeah, I don't know this girl. I remember for sure. There's somebody on South Carolina too that I know that I always see highlights of. It's just really good.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but I know what you're talking about.
Are they going to play each other? UCLA,
Iowa, and LSU.
Yeah,
they might cross paths again.
Let's see, Women's March Madness. South Carolina. Wow, they almost lost to Indiana. Sydney Parrish, I think, is her name. No, that's Indiana. Camilla Cardoso, maybe that's the girl. Yeah, the big center chick.
Okay.
Red hair or pink hair.
Yep.
Yeah, I always see that girl out there throwing shit. yeah. Maybe that's the key. Maybe it's you get the LSU and Iowa kids to play each other and build off a damn rivalry, which is something that more people should be doing.
Yeah.
So Texas, Gonzaga, Stanford, NC State, Indiana, South Carolina, Notre Dame, Oregon State. So all the 1, 2, 3, 4 in that ends. UConn, Duke, USC, Baylor. And then Iowa, Colorado, LSU, UCLA. So if Iowa beats Colorado, they would play LSU if they beat UCLA in the Elite Eight.
Hmm.
That'll, as Eric Bischoff said when Mick Foley won the world title on Raw, that'll put some butts in the seats.
No, God.
And then they won the ratings war every week after.
Bischoff.
No, but I was just... You know, I saw it pop up on the main headline, and obviously with the, you know, with the tournament going, I thought it was just worth talking. But it's wild. Like, I've never seen so many people on like social media and stuff complain about how much ESPN's been showing women's college basketball. And it's like, maybe it's a good thing they're showing more stuff. You know?
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Like,
I saw a block that had it was like women's college basketball, the NHL, and like one other thing. And there was no NBA or NFL in it. And I understand that's probably a death wish for ESPN, but somebody who likes everything, like, I enjoyed seeing more than just two things on the network.
Yeah, it's nice. They got to expand their horizons.
They have really good hockey coverage on ESPN. I don't know why they don't embrace it. Like, they do a really good job with it. Same with TNT, that with Gretzky and like Anson Carter and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
Like, they have a really good. It's not as good as obviously inside the NBA, but they have a really good set of talking heads for hockey.
Yeah, I probably should watch a little more hockey. But
I'll always
scoreboard
island.
Update.
Uh-huh.
Timberwolves are leading the Nuggets by 17 right now.
How about that shit?
It is in the second quarter, though, so they do have plenty of time to give up the lead. But
Jade McDaniels, 5 for 5, 13 points. Wow. Jokic is 4 for 11 and a -9 plus minus. That's how you beat that team.
Yeah. If you can stop Jokic. I don't
Man.
Think Jamal Murray might be out tonight.
He's not playing
yeah.
either. They got Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in their backcourt who are combined 2 for 10 with a -18 and 5 points.
What about Michael Jr. Porter?
Michael Jr. Porter's got 10 points, -10 plus minus, shooting 3 for 4 with 2 boards, 2 dimes. He played 17 of the first 22 minutes, so he's getting some run.
Dare I say this? Is this going to piss people off, or am I going to look like an idiot for saying this? Like,
I think what you're going to say, I would have agreed with had it not been for what just went down with this team.
Do we trade Towns this off season?
I mean, I'll say this. When he, about a quarter of the way through the season, seemed like he finally adopted being the number two and was okay with it and understood it, he just broke out and was playing like I think most people wish he had been playing. Before he got hurt, he was on fire, man.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like we are kind of we're a good team with him, but just watching what Naz Reid does, like they kind of do a lot of the same stuff. Like,
I feel like
Naz
they force Towns the ball too.
Yeah,
when they don't
Naz
have to force Naz.
No, like Naz can shoot it. He can get to the basket. He rebounds okay. Like, he's not the greatest defender, but neither is Towns. Like, I feel like,
and
I
he
feel
ain't
like
as
Naz,
soft as Towns, I think either.
No, I feel like Naz offers a lot of the same things that Towns does, and it's like without like needing the ball like all the time or being force fed the ball. So it's like it kind of makes you think with this injury, like, man, do the Timberwolves explore trading Towns while they can get something for him?
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna say, are they gonna go all the way?
No, I'm not gonna jinx them yet.
My rebuttal was going to be, I had confidence until Glenn Taylor refused to sell the rest of the team.
Oh, but did you hear the latest, though?
No,
Lori came out with a statement pretty much saying that this isn't over. Like, we are eventually going to be owners of this team, whether Glenn Taylor likes it or not. So, like...
Well, like, Glenn Taylor wants nothing to do with this team, it seems like. He's ruined our team's relationship with Kevin Garnett, who's like the, you know, the consummate logo of the Timberwolves, you could argue. And then they bring in two people that, you know, oh, it's just A-Rod buying a team. And it's like, no, these guys are really trying to win. and then they start to win, and then he gets buyer's remorse, it seems like. He's like, oh, shit, this team is good. Well, I don't want to get rid of them anymore.
Yeah. No, I think Glenn Taylor's turned even into – he's kind of – he's hated even more than he was now. So I wonder – I think they're playing in Denver tonight. It should be interesting to see how they how the fans react to him at the next home game. Like, I'm pretty sure –
is
people
he
are going to be booing the hell out of him.
Is like, how much more does he have to do to get to, like, Dolan level?
I don't know.
I mean, I know it's not close, but, boy, he sure inched his way ahead of some of these other owners.
It's
especially
crazy
in Minnesota fans.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too, because if you think about it, he was like – he started off as like a hero because he's the guy who saved the Wolves from like being moved to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Wolves were like literally about to pack up and go. And he like stepped in at the last minute to keep them from leaving. And now he's like the villain.
Ugh. It drives me nuts, man. Jizzy nuts. What do you think we could theoretically get for Towns?
I don't know. I haven't like.
Can we get a first?
Maybe. Probably. I don't know. I have to like really kind of dig deep into it and kind of hear what I probably would know more like in the off season, obviously. But I mean. They maybe could get a first.
Right now, the Miami Heat who are on a 7-0 run here. Miami Heat, 137. Portland, 78. Scoot Henderson,
whoa!
20. Scoot's got 20 of their 78. 137 to 78. Essentially... Scoot Henderson and DeAndre Ayton have 38, and Portland has 40.
Oh, God.
You know who – I mean, and they don't have Anthony Simons playing, but whatever. That shouldn't designate a 57-point blowout.
They literally have nobody except for Scoot Henderson and DeAndre Ayton.
They got Jrace Walker or Jabari Walker, who's not really panning out.
Shaedon Sharpe.
Yep, Shaedon Sharpe. Anthony Simons. Delano Banton has taken 19 shots in 30 minutes tonight.
How many
who
has
Delano
he made?
Banton is.
How many has he made?
No, I was saying ask me who he is.
Oh, I was asking how many has he made.
He's 5 for 19, I was saying, 30 minutes.
Ooh.
Never heard of this guy. He's a second rounder. From Nebraska in the 2021 draft.
Rough times in Portland, man.
I couldn't tell you who this man is. You know what I would do? I would like to do with Towns if we were going to trade him. Do you think
what?
We could get the Miami Heat to give us a first-round pick? And on top of a first-round pick, would they give us their 2023 first-round pick, Jaime Jaquez Jr.? Or has he started to cement himself as a legit role player for them?
Probably not, man. Like, I don't know, man.
Jaquez,
I don't know how much value.
6 for 9, 12 points tonight.
I don't know how much
plus
value
20.
Towns has still.
I really like that kid out of UCLA, man. Every time I see a Heat game, man, I'm like, dude, this Jaime Jaquez guy is really good. He's kind of good, man.
Jaime Camozzi.
He was in the backcourt with that other dude. What was the point guard's name at UCLA a couple years ago? They made that run.
Tyus Edney.
Tyus Edney, he says. This isn't NBA Live 05 with Thurl Bailey in it, too.
Toby Bailey?
UCLA basketball roster. Why can't
Charles O'Bannon?
Definitely wasn't Charles O'Bannon. It might have been Ed O'Bannon. I'm just kidding.
Shabazz Muhammad.
Oh God, I remember when we could have took Luka and we took the other kid. That dude everybody wanted from Michigan for some reason.
Oh,
the point guard.
The little point guard.
And then we traded him for Shabazz, whatever that kid's name is.
Trey, wasn't it Trey something?
Trey Burke.
Yes.
Is that it?
That
Woo!
Is it.
Excuse me. Anyway, I'm going to stop looking for this basketball because I can't think of who this guy is. It doesn't matter. It's not on our team.
Let's just say it's Ty Sedney.
So we got 20 minutes here until we get to our final draft. Why don't we pull out our mocks? Try to knock these out real quick. We don't have to go too crazy on them in depth. But this week, guys, it's our mock 3.0. In 2 weeks, as you know, we'll come with our 4.0. And then finally, our finale, right before we do our live on-air draft with the callers. You want to start or you want me to kick us off?
I can kick it off.
All right.
This one's... For me, it's going to follow what's going to happen, but I'm taking Caleb Williams for the Bears.
Once again, as we said, this is what we would do with the pick, not what we think is going to happen with the pick. So if you hear some weird things, it's because this is who we would take with the pick. With that being said,
this is us with our GM hats on.
It's a no-brainer. Caleb Williams has got to be number one. Even if you don't think he's the best, your fan base is going to kill you if you don't take him.
Yeah.
Like, I still think Jane Daniels might be my favorite quarterback, but I don't want to risk goofing that or take the backlash.
Yeah. And me personally, it's closer than most would think between him and Daniels, but I think Caleb Williams is a little better than Daniels, but they're both really
reason
good,
he's
obviously.
Been consensus number one, too. I mean, it's not coincidental.
No, and while he's not the electric runner that Daniels is, there's, like, when he was in Oklahoma, when he ran more, like, RPO type of stuff, like, he could run. He was, had some pretty ridiculous runs for a quarterback. So, yeah, I like Caleb Williams a lot, so... That's who I'm picking at one.
You said you were running this thing, so you keep going,
oh,
sir. Unless you want me to
fine.
Take over.
Number two, I got Jaden Daniels going to
Same.
The Cant Commanders.
Yep, I agree.
I hope this isn't like a. I hope this isn't a career and a career death sentence because it seems like. The Commanders are where people go for their careers to die, or like rookies who get drafted by them don't pan out. So let's pray to God that Daniels can overcome that because I love Daniels.
Yeah, I like him too. I took him at number two also.
Number three, this is probably going to be the first weird one, but number three, I'm going J.J. McCarthy here.
I went Marvin Harrison Jr. You signed Jacoby Brissett. He knows your offensive scheme, even though you got new coach. But I feel like if you made that move, bringing back somebody your franchise knows, maybe you have a little bit more use for him. And if you have that use, let's get you a weapon.
Yeah. I went McCarthy just because I feel like what the Patriots – what they need and where they're drafting at, like, and the type of player McCarthy is, I feel like he fits them really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was saying, like with how he has a really high floor and he isn't really good in like a pro, he has good mechanics, very technically sound, not the most exciting guy in the world, but he can make the off-script plays, and he's not going to go. I don't feel like he would go to a dumpster fire like New England on offense and crack under pressure. Like I don't think it would ruin him. I think he would be like halfway decent. So
that's why
I'm taking McCarthy here. Number four, I got the Cards taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
Hell yeah. Even though,
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would have agreed if I had not already taken it. So I just went Malik Nabers.
Yeah. And five, I got the Chargers taking Malik Nabers.
Yep. And then I went Roma Dunze because they just kept falling and I needed to get him a wide receiver.
So this is going to be kind of a controversial pick, but if I'm the Giants, I'm taking Drake May here.
Not a bad thing.
Because Daniel Jones is probably not the answer. Drew Lock is probably not going to be the answer. But you can still play like Drew Lock and Daniel Jones and let Drake May sit for a year or two possibly. So
That's fair. Yeah, I had to do some thinking about it, but I went Drake May at number six also.
You did?
Yeah, I'm not playing Danny Jones. He's trash. He got a fluke victory over the Vikings in the playoffs and has done nothing since. I'm taking the best quarterback on the board available that it should be, with New York fans not punching me for trading back or trading up. I'm just taking the best guy that's there and they should be happy enough.
Well, and next year's quarterback class is probably going to be really weak. So
bullshit. Excuse me.
If you're going to get a quarterback, this is probably the year to get a quarterback.
Bullshit twice. Excuse me. I have this third bullshit thing going on. I don't know what's happening.
You're Tourette's guy now?
Yeah, because Shadur, baby. Shadur next year. That's what I want. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I do want Shadur.
I would take Shadur. So at seven, I got the Titans taking Joe Alt.
Joe Alt here too.
Eight, I got Atlanta taking Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, it's murder. Got you.
Nine, I have Chicago taking Roma Dunze.
Number nine,
gotta
I took
give Caleb
Shearer
another
first.
Weapon.
Hey.
That's a good pick.
I
good
give
pairing
him something.
For Sweat.
Yeah, give him another piece out there, if you will.
Number 10, I got the Jets taking Fashanu.
Ooh, nice. I went Brock Bowers.
I was considering Brock Bowers, but I feel like offensive line is a major need for them.
I had thought about Fuaga because he's the one who I've heard is the most liked by the Jets. If they take a line, it's probably going to be Talisi Fuaga. But I just thought about if I was in that position and I could give Aaron Rodgers Brock Bowers on top of Garrett Wilson, I couldn't turn that away.
Yeah. So.
Uh-oh.
Who are you picking for the Vikings first?
You want me to jump in? At number 11,
first.
I have the Minnesota Vikings taking quarterback out of Washington, Michael Penix Jr.
Same.
Give me what I want.
You're going to give me what I want.
Or I'm going to continue.
Just give me what I want.
The people you love.
It's probably not going to happen.
It's a reach, but you're right. It's the guy we want.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be a reach though, because he's probably not going to get past the Raiders. And then Then you have Seattle at 16, who he probably wouldn't get past they would probably pick him even though they have Howell. But he's a Seattle dude. Their Washington's quarterbacks coach or offensive coordinator, something. There's connections between University of Washington and Seattle. LA at 19. He's still there.
I've seen him mocked there.
So I don't think he's going to make it to the Vikings at 23. So,
yeah. So I,
and he's,
now,
he's my guy. He's my guy. So
hell yeah. No, he's been the dude I wanted since last year. I wanted him or Shadur when I thought Shadur might come out. That was the two I wanted.
I've been on Penix for like 2 years, like just, and like, I liked him when he was at Indiana, but he was always getting hurt. And then kind of forgot about him. Then when I heard he transferred to Washington, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then he was like a killer.
Excuse me. I was talking to somebody and they were like, you know, I was talking about this draft that we were doing tonight with it being, you know, what we would do. And they're like, isn't 11 high for Penix? And I said, yes, it is probably high for Penix. But my big but and my big caveat is look back at the, I think it's a 27 draft. It's still on our Sportscast Facebook. The audio is still in there. I still have the spreadsheet. There was two players that we definitely nailed. You drafted for the Houston Texans at like 27. You took Deshaun Watson because you said, this is the guy that can fix this team. This is a quarterback who's going to be good. And you put him over, you know, you went out. A lot of people weren't sure where he was going to go. Locked him in. Obviously there was a guy that the Chiefs took that year, slotted him in the same reasoning. You slotted Watson. And what did we see happen? Both of those teams traded up to get the same two guys we said they were going to take. Why? Because they were the best fit for the team. And if that's the guy you really want, you go out of your way and take him. And they went out of their way and took Patrick Mahomes at pick 11. So to me, I'm just taking Patrick Mahomes at 11 again. Yeah. The guy I want, it's the quarterback that I think is going to be the best at the end of the day out of all six of these guys, five of these guys. And if that's the guy, you go out and you flip and take him. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. But why leave it on a risk? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And also, too, if you're wrong, you still were able to draft a player who's probably going to be good at 23 instead
of you still signed giving Sam up. Donald.
Yeah, instead of giving up everything for a guy, you could be wrong on that guy. And you have, like, that guy and nothing.
Yeah, but that's why I'm just, you got to do it, man. I think it's not a reach if he truly is the guy. Like I said, if he's on the top of my list of quarterbacks, I'm not reaching at 11 then, I don't think.
Yeah. And I feel like his pro day, like, answered a lot of questions. Like, people were saying he's not athletic, he can't run, he can't move, and his testing proved that he's probably in the top half of the draft. Like, it's probably most athletic is probably Daniels, but like him and Caleb Williams are very, like, he's about as athletic as Caleb Williams, maybe like a little more testing wise, like a 36 and a half inch vertical and a 10'5" like broad jump for a quarterback is crazy. Mm-hmm. And you add in, he ran like a 4.5, and I just love when he was being interviewed. He's like, see, I showed everybody, you know, I'm athletic, but I don't need to use that stuff. He's like, I can play in the pocket, and I prefer to play in the pocket, but since no one sees me do that and I've been injured, no one thinks I'm athletic. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty sure you were going to do the same thing I was going to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, if that's the guy we think is going to be the best one, I don't see anything wrong in what we're, you know, with us reaching.
Yeah.
We're taking our guy, right?
Who do you got at 12? Bo Nix.
I got McCarthy because I hadn't taken him, hadn't gone yet.
If I didn't have McCarthy going 3 to Michigan, this is probably where McCarthy would have went for me too, to Patriots. But me, like, if I'm Sean Payton, I feel like I desperately need a quarterback. or else I'm probably going to get fired. And I feel like this quarterback where I'm at probably fits what I want to do the most. And he's going to come in and be ready to start from day one and not be a complete disaster. So,
yeah, that's fair. I couldn't put Bo Nix on this piece of paper. So
sorry. Let the man live.
TT's what TT's. Let him cook.
At 13, I got Terry and Arnold going to the Raiders.
I went Alomu Fashano to protect the quarterback that they didn't get.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, baby. I got him on my fantasy team. Does
Gardner Minshew?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Gardner. You never know what he can do. But
Gardner's decent.
Three picks left in the first half of the first year.
14, I got Fuaga going to the Saints.
I went J.C. Latham. I kept an offensive tackle, too.
Yeah, I feel like they really need a tackle.
you got to protect Derek Carr. He's going to end up like his brother.
Yeah, 15 is where, like, if I'm the Colts and my draft is working out this way, I'm running to the podium because at 15 I'm picking Brock Bowers for the Colts.
Ooh, that's a good pick that I like that. If I didn't have him go at 10, I do like that a lot. I went Quinyon Mitchell with pick 15.
Okay. 16, I went Quinyon Mitchell.
And I went Terry and Arnold because I wanted to get another cornerback on that team.
17, as I alluded to earlier, I went with Brian Thomas Jr.
Nice.
For the Jags.
I went with a gentleman that Carlos had kind of mentioned, Nate Wiggins at 17.
Okay. You know, Nate Wiggins is kind of like, ever since he got injured at the combine, like, no one's like, it seems like the hype for him is just, like, tanked. Like, I haven't heard anything about him since the combine, and it's like all because he pulled a muscle or something.
Let's pause at the halfway point here as we move into our final guest of the evening. Let's grab this here. Sarah, are you with us?
I am. Hi, guys.
How are we doing tonight?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, we're rocking and rolling. We love our NFL draft time, and this is probably our busiest time of the year as we got to just rapid fire through these things, and I love it. But real quick, before we start breaking down your New England Patriots, go ahead and plug everything you got. Introduce yourself for all of our listeners if you could. Love to have them know where they can read everything.
Yeah, so I am Sarah Marshall, so don't forget it, LOL. you can find me on Musket Fire, which is the Patriots website for Fans Cited. I'm the editor and writer there, so you can check that out. And then I will be starting an official YouTube page for Musket Fire as well, probably aiming for, I think, I'm going on a trip next week, so it'll be in 2 weeks. and then that's when I'll start live streaming and talking about the draft. And you know, with the Patriots, it's kind of exciting this year, hopefully. So I'll actually have something to talk about instead of assuming we're trading out. So,
it's like ours. That's all we talk about at our draft, too, apparently.
So,
yeah,
Sarah.
I know. I'm like, there's a lot of scenarios that they can do, but with, you know, Belichick's not around anymore. So I'm like, okay, you know, the things that we normally assume is like we're going to trade out or we're going to trade down and then take a left guard. We don't have that assumption anymore. So I'm like, it's up in the air this year, which is a little exciting.
So, Sarah, this is going to be kind of a long-winded question.
Okay.
Bear with me because there's a lot of tentacles to it. But so who do you want? J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., assuming Jaden Daniels doesn't go second, like, it just seems like there's so many guys that the Patriots could be looking at, or do you want them to trade out? Like, so out of all those people in that scenario, what would you like most to happen?
It's such a tricky question, honestly, because this is the highest they've picked in the draft in 30 years. So almost as long as I've been alive, I've been alive a little.
Was that Drew Bledsoe?
Yes.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe was alive.
Yep. I had a Bledsoe jersey, damn it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did and then switched over to Brady. But so it's hard because obviously they've had issues since Tom Brady left to find a quarterback. And now we've moved on from the Mac Jones era, so they definitely need a quarterback. So I'm kind of torn on what I want them to do because I'm not a big college football fan, and I don't pretend to. So, you know, most of the stuff that I learn about the top prospects is what I choose to, you know, do looking into the drafts and the mock drafts and the whatever I look at, you know, videos, articles, whatever. That's how I learn. So I like some of the quarterbacks, but then people have brought up an interesting point about taking a quarterback but not having a proper offense around him for him to succeed, kind of like what the Panthers dealt with last year. And that sounds awful. So it's like, as much as I would love for them to take a quarterback who could potentially be the future of the franchise, if they don't, you know, give him a good supporting cast around him, then what would be the point of taking a quarterback this year? It's almost like you could sell me more on taking Marvin Harrison Jr. or trading with like the Vikings and getting their first two rounders and a receiver, and then maybe going after one of the second tier quarterbacks like Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, or just waiting until next year because now Dak Prescott might be available next year, you know, so there's some options there.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
But it's really hard for me to give you a straight answer, honestly, because as impatient as many Patriots fans have become, you know, it's been 5 whole years since we won a Super Bowl. I wouldn't mind waiting an extra year if we were able to make them have a really good offense and then adding a quarterback, if that makes any sense to you guys.
It does. I
think that's a great answer because if you look at 2021, they did the exact same thing with a better offense that really wasn't better when they took Mac Jones and gave him no weapons. And he just went out there and was set up to fail. You know, if you draft J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or whoever at pick 3, you might be setting them up to fail. I think that's a good response. What does that do for you then in terms of if you knew your off season next year, you could take care of this. Does suddenly Marvin Harrison look really good at 3 if he's there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, any receiver, honestly, like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik, I know Neighbors has been driving up the chart as well. So, you know, they didn't get their top guy receiver in free agency, and they're claiming that they're in the trade market. But, of course, you know, whatever ones that they were looking at, which has been T. Higgins, there are all these rumors about Justin Jefferson and whoever else. Like, we don't know what it's going to cost to get those guys. And they don't really they can't really afford to give up draft picks this year. So I don't love that as much as I would love to have Justin Jefferson on the team. It's like, okay, if they have to give up a bunch of picks, I don't like it. So if they could get a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., who will be the by far wide receiver one on the team, doesn't matter who they plug in at quarterback, like that seems more ideal to me. And then maybe in the second round going for one of the top left tackles, getting some other receivers later on, but build up that offense so when you do plug in a quarterback, we're not going to have the Mac Jones experience again, because I am a Mac Jones sympathizer. It's not very common. I guess I jumped from being a Cam Newton sympathizer, as if that didn't trash me enough, then moving on to the Mac Jones sympathizer. I would hate to see that again. Yeah, I still get dragged online for supporting Cam, and it's a hill that I'm willing to die on, so it's like whatever at this point. But, you know, we don't want to go through another 3-4 years of Mac Jones if they're not going to do anything to improve the offense. That's just, like, such a waste of time.
Well, it's not, like, going to Cam Newton, it's not Cam Newton's fault that the Patriots signed him and they had no weapons to begin with, but like
exactly.
his arm and shoulder were like shot. Like he probably shouldn't have even been playing anymore because his shoulder is like, he couldn't throw the ball anymore.
Yeah,
so,
to Cam. That's totally not fair to Cam. You're right.
Like his shoulder was done.
I think he was dealing with some lingering issues, of course, but then he's also talked about how the playbook and stuff was very difficult for him to learn. So I think that played a huge factor in why they just couldn't get things together. Because there were some games, especially at the beginning of the year, where he looked great. And I was like all for it. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we know he's not the future, but he can be here for now. And then after he missed a game, it just went downhill from there. So, and then they didn't really do anything to, you know, as you guys have already said, to make things better for Mac Jones, but they expected him to be able to overcome that. And it's like, I don't know what 22, 23-year-old rookie is going to be able to do that. So that's why I'm like, okay, if you guys chose to hold off on a quarterback this year, bulk up the offense, I'm all for it. It would not be a very well-liked scenario amongst Patriots fans, but they want, most of them want success and they want it right now. And it's because they're so impatient. You know, most of the ones that you see online are people who only grew up in the Tom Brady era. And so they're so used to going to a Super Bowl practically every other year. They don't know what it's like to have to go through a rebuild and make it a good offense, a good defense, so you can be successful. Rushing into it, then we're going to have the exact same issue we've already been dealing with. So, it's a complicated answer, and I don't know what the best one is, honestly.
I was going to say, too, like, obviously the Patriots need a lot on, like, you know, receiver, probably offensive line. What are some other positions of need for the Patriots that you would like to see them address? And I'm going to add something else to this question. Like, I'm curious to see, because I'm not really in with the Patriots fans and stuff, like, Who are the Patriots fans clamoring for?
So for your first question, I would say tight ends for sure. I mean, I'm happy with Hunter Henry that he's staying because his first year in 2021 was good. Should have been good in 2022, but the offense was a hot mess, courtesy of Matt Patricia. So it's hard for me to really blame anybody in that scenario. They did bring in Austin Hooper, but I'm not, you know, it is what it is. He's like a good depth piece, but I'm not expecting him to do anything fantastic. So I would really like them to take a tight end. It's unfortunate because basically from Brock Bowers to the second level, it's like, I think on PFF, it's like 60 spots on the draft board. So, if they can get somebody, I think that would be good. I mean, I would say probably a safety would be good, maybe even a cornerback. I like that they have Christian Gonzalez coming back. Of course, he had a great first four games until he got injured. And Jonathan Jones will still be there, but they did let go of J.C. Jackson, Jalen Mills, and Adrian Phillips. So they're pretty bare. Oh, and Miles Bryant as well. So they're pretty bare in the cornerback room. I would also love for them to get a solid pass rusher. I don't care who he is. But Matthew Judon cannot carry the team by himself. and he's only signed through 2024. So they're going to be in hot water if they don't keep him beyond that year. I mean, basically once he went out in the Cowboys game last year, there was, I think, the most sacks that the team got was one guy got like four for the rest of the season. So I would love for them to do that as well. Just again, like, what are they going to prioritize? Because the defense, for the most part, is not an issue. There's just certain spots that's like, oh, they could use some help there, but it's not as bad as the offense. As far as the Patriots fans go, it really depends on who you ask. I would say the most fans are probably looking at a quarterback, and it's basically between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. half of the fan base is going to tell you Jaden Daniels is the greatest thing that's ever walked the planet. The other half are going to tell you he absolutely sucks. And the same thing is going to happen with Drake May. Drake May is the next Mitchell Trubisky. Or the other half is going to tell you he's looking like he's the next Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. So it really depends. Most of them are really wanting a quarterback. I would say there's like a small portion that is really all in on trading back and maybe even getting a left tackle first or a receiver. There's really not a consensus, honestly. I think it just depends on what people are prioritizing, whether they want to just jump headfirst into getting their next franchise quarterback or, like I said earlier, if they want to kind of build the offense first. So, yeah.
As us being a show based out of Minnesota, I would love it if you guys would just take Bo Nix, because I don't want anything to do with Bo Nix. So that would
be a blessing. I want to take J.J. McCarthy. Or Drake May.
Yeah, and J.J. McCarthy's like his stock is rising, and I feel like it's basically just because of Harbaugh. Like, I don't really know. It's like
Good
it's
point.
Such a random thing. It seems to go along with Harbaugh hyping him as like the best quarterback in the draft. I'm like, are you guys just moving him up in the draft boards because of that? Or is there actually like solid evidence to prove that he's like in the top three now? I'm not sure.
I feel comfortably. Go ahead. Sorry, Elijah.
Oh, I was going to say, I do feel like McCarthy would be a better fit than Drake May. I feel like if Drake May goes to New England with nothing in the cupboard, he's going to crash and burn, because I just feel like out of all the quarterbacks, he's probably the least like pro-ready, in my opinion. But
Well, and it's hard because there are a few that feel like a Belichick pick, and Drake May or McCarthy kind of feels like a Belichick pick. And I know that a lot of people in Patriots fans, you know, we're still holding on to the idea of almost drafting Lamar Jackson, but instead picking Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn. So they like the idea of Jaden Daniels coming in because he's kind of the complete opposite of the typical quarterback that comes through New England. And if Belichick were still around, I would not want Jaden Daniels, because I saw how they had no idea what to do with even a broken down Cam Newton. I would not trust that they would know how to deal with a mobile quarterback like Jaden Daniels. But now that we have Jerod Mayo and a brand new staff, it's like, I don't know who fits the mold better and who they prefer and the style that they like. Like, there's so many question marks because this is their first year. So, you know, it's like we don't have history to look back on and be like, okay, this guy fits this. Like, we're going into this blind, which is fun and not so fun. You know, when you have to write about the team, it's like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what where they're leaning. I honestly don't know.
if Jaden Daniels is still there at three, I definitely will be happy. I'll run picks 11 and 23 up to you guys if that means we can get Jaden Daniels. That's about one of the only guys I'd trade up for, I think.
Yeah.
I've been on Penix. Elijah's been on Penix. And I feel like with 11 and 23, we just need to stand pat in Minnesota here and just either reach for him at 11 so the Raiders don't take him, or see if he's there at 23. Because it's kind of the same thing. I feel like we don't have as broken of a team, but having two first-round picks is just such a game-changer. And
yeah,
I mean, if we were to move up, I mean, now we're throwing those two picks to you guys, and if we don't get some, you know, I'm not doing that for Drake May. It's not worth it to me. I'd rather ride Sam Darnold, I guess.
Yeah, well, and the only reason why, from what I've been reading, is because of McCown, right? Like, he has a history with May, so that would be like, if he's really pushing, like, I'm the quarterback coach, like, I want Drake May, then that might be it. But I mean, it's basically becoming a quarterback carousel for the teams that need them. It's like, who's the flavor of the week? You know, for the Patriots, it's been Jaden Daniels for weeks, and it's been back to Drake May. It just depends. I'm like, I don't know who it is now. Some mock draft just had the Patriots picking J.J. McCarthy. So I'm like, whoever's popular right now, that seems to be how they're determining who's going where. And it seems from what the mock drafts I've been seeing, the Vikings are definitely trading with the Patriots the most often. And usually they're looking to get Daniel. So that might be better for you guys.
I would love it. Right now, supposedly J.J. McCarthy's spending a week in Minnesota, which has made a lot of us go, uh-oh, I think we're getting J.J. McCarthy, which, damn it. Please don't trade up for him. Just stay at 11, and if he falls to 11, fine.
I don't know what that's going to happen, because and that's the thing with the Chargers, like, I understand they have Herbert, but I'm like, the way Harbaugh is hyping him up, is he really going to get there at 5 and be like, oh, I'm going to pass on McCarthy? I'm like, I would not be surprised if this guy really shakes things up and takes McCarthy despite having Herbert. Like, that would be dramatic.
That's wild, right?
I saw Patriots fans streaming about it because they're like, what if we traded with the Chargers and we got Herbert? And I'm like, okay, guys. Like, I think we're living in fantasy land a little bit, but – Harbaugh might be crazy enough to do it because he seems to be so in on McCarthy.
We've been getting a lot of that too with the trading up for McCarthy. Just everything is just tied to him. But I don't know. I'm intrigued. I think there's a lot of talent. I think after Caleb Williams, there's so many what if scenarios that this draft in a few weeks is just going to really be one where, you know, you still might need to be paying a good amount of attention come, you know, Saturday. Whereas before, you kind of just put it on as background noise. Like, this might be something where you never know how much stuff's going to be going down. So I'm very intrigued by that.
And I think that's what's the most intriguing about the Patriots, too, is, like, we don't have, like I said, we don't have a history to look back on. This is so many different people that are in charge now. It's like, I don't know how they're going to draft and, like, I mean, I would like to believe they won't take, like, a kicker in the fourth, but maybe they will. I don't know. So it does make it a little more interesting to, like, actually sit there and watch all 7 rounds.
So real quick, before we start wrapping up here, as it's almost time for us to make our exit on the radio, I got one last question here, and then have you just kind of do one more round of plugs, because I want to make sure everybody gets all your stuff. I love the interview. I'm looking at your what do we call it now, X, or is it Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. I see the bad guy Razor Ramon sitting on a screenshot on the top of this my screen here. We are a network that prides ourselves off of WrestleCast Radio, our other show, where, you know, we've traveled to Tokyo and covered New Japan and All Japan and Noah and Stardom, you name it.
Diehard
wrestler. Like, I used to be a pro wrestler. Diehard wrestler. We have a game that we like to play, and I have a caller that's waiting online that's even willing to participate as the other contestant. And I guess, Elijah, you could be the third, but would you like to play a game with us? We like to call What Show They On, it'll make more sense as we go. If you'd like to jump in with us, heck yeah. I'm going to get him on. Elijah, you had the third list last time. I have the same one. So I'll let you take list one or two if you don't remember some of these names.
I probably won't remember them.
So if you want to take one or two, you're more than welcome to take either of them.
I'll take two.
All right. We're going to, and then Sarah, do you want one or three?
Three.
Three. All right. Isaiah, are you there? Did we get our caller on? I don't think he knows what he's doing. We might not have Zeke doing this if he doesn't answer. I'll give him one last chance here. Otherwise, we are going to have to just move on. Hold on, let me try to unmute him. Zeke, can you hear us? Okay, he's not there, so we're just going to play two. We're going to hang up. Sorry, Zeke. We appreciate you trying to play. All right, so the way this game works is, now I should ask you two real quick with this picture of Razor Ramon. I guess before I start assuming things, how big of a wrestler are you? A big wrestling fan, I take it.
Okay, the irony in you asking me this. Next week I'm going on a trip. I'm going to WrestleMania. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I go to WrestleMania. I leave next Wednesday, and then I'll be meeting Cody Rhodes on Thursday, going to SmackDown, the Hall of Fame Friday, Stand and Deliver Saturday, Mania Saturday and Sunday, and Raw after Mania on Monday. So, I was a little too young, grew up in an all-female household, to be able to watch, like, the Monday Night Wars, but I had the biggest crush on Scott Hall, and I still do. So, I have a soft spot for him. I actually have a wrestling YouTube channel where my friend and I, we recap Raw and SmackDown every week, and then we do a stream on Thursday as well to talk whatever we want. I am very active with wrestling. So
that's what I'm talking about. When you go to WrestleMania weekend, I don't know if you go to any indie shows, but if you make it to Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, two guys there, Takuya Nomura and Fuminori Abe, they're called the Astronauts. Give them a good wave. And if you see another little guy named Ho-Ho Loon, tell him WrestleCast sent you, and he might give you some merch. That dude is a riot. He does half of the American play-by-play for Dragon Gate in Japan there. And he's flying in to do some of these WrestleMania shows. So I'm excited. And Minnesota, we're supposed to get it next year. So
I heard about that. Yeah, that's awesome. I was hoping for Vegas because they were teasing Vegas because I'm in Phoenix. So I'm like, well, that's like.
Oh, yeah, you could get right there. Heck mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, we're probably going to do nothing against the E. I'm not just slamming the E. I'm more of a everything else. I'm more of the wrestling guy, so I'm going to go to do a lot of the indie shows. But I respect the hell out of that that WrestleMania weekend you got. That means you might actually do okay with this if you know WWE kind of stuff. But I believe Zeke is back with us. Isaiah, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So, Isaiah, you are going to get the first set of names. Elijah's going to get the second set of names, and Sarah will get the third set of names. So the way this game works is I have five names I'm going to give you. You have to tell me what show they're on. You have to tell me if they're an actual real NXT wrestler, if they're on the Young and the Restless, or if they play professional cricket. Because that's how obscure these NXT names have become on here.
Okay.
So, Isaiah, we'll start with you. I got five names. You'll be kind of the test subject here. So everyone kind of see how the game works. Isaiah, are you ready?
What were the three options? It was NXT.
Young and the Restless, the soap opera, or cricket?
Okay.
First name is Shubman Grill. Shubman
Grill. I'm
going to
go cricket.
You are correct. Jeez, good guess. Good guess. Number two is Brinley Reese.
Say NXT for that one.
That is two for two. You are on fire. The third name is Carly Bright.
Oh, I'll do the soap opera.
No, that is also an NXT wrestler. I apologize.
Wow.
Amelia Henley.
I'm going to go with the soap again on that one.
That is the soap opera. You are correct. And then the final name is Dion Lennox.
Ooh, okay.
Got 5 seconds.
I'm gonna go with cricket.
Cricket? No, he is actually an NXT wrestler. I believe he wrestled Tavion Heights and Suge Supreme or something like that on NXT Level Up. Suge Knight. 3 out of 5. Pretty good, Isaiah. We'll put you there. Elijah, are you ready for your list of names?
Hell yeah.
First name is Lainey Reed.
NXT.
You are correct. That is 1 for 1. Eileen Davidson.
Young and the Restless.
That is Young and the Restless. You are 2 for 2. Let's see if we can sweep. V-Rat Coley.
Cricket.
You are correct. Number 4, Trey Bearhill.
Trey Bearheel. I'm going to go Young and the Restless.
That is an NXT wrestler.
Damn
it. He was
it.
Actually
I knew
on TV with a friend of the show, Carl Fredericks, who's now – I don't remember what Carl Fredericks is. I'm sorry. I hope you're not listening. Shit, that's embarrassing. He's doing something over there at NXT. Then finally, Melissa Ordway.
Young and the Restless.
That is Young and the Restless. You are correct. All right, Sarah, are you ready for your five?
I am prepared to get zero correct.
Number one, Luca Crucifino.
Cricket.
He is a NXT wrestler. He actually is the one who told Dijak that he doesn't make the law, and he is an attorney, so he can make the law instead of Dijak. And then I went, why do I watch NXT?
Yeah.
Stop for the evening. Your next team is Hunter King.
Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless is correct. Let's go. Number three, Ren Sinclair. Ren Sinclair.
NXT.
That is NXT. You are correct. Number four, Kane Williamson.
Cricket.
Cricket is correct. And number five, Keanu Carver.
Oh, NXT.
Definitely NXT. That is a good run. 4 out of 5. Woo-hoo! Ladies and gentlemen, that is another round of what show are they on? Because I couldn't tell you if half of these people are real or not in NXT. But that's okay. Zeke, thanks for playing.
I got a question for you.
Right, I'm gonna let
Victor
Zeke
Newman.
Go real quick. For me?
Yeah.
Is he on Young and the Restless?
Victor Newman.
Uh-huh.
Young and the Restless, your final answer?
Final answer.
You are correct. You should Google Victor. You should Google Victor Newman.
I thought you were going to go, no, he's the newest NFL or NLT signee or whatever, NFT signee for NXT. And I was like, dang it.
My grandma had a crush on him when I was a kid.
Oh, jeez.
I used to have to watch Young and the Restless when I was a child.
Yeah, so you had a little bit of a leg up. I love it.
Not really. None of the names sounded familiar. Like I remember like Victor Newman and Jack something, and that's about it. But
oh, I love it. Hey, Sarah, it was a pleasure having you on. Learn something new. We got wrestling. That's you may get a hit up here and there about wrestling. Just be aware. We love our pro wrestling here. Plug everything one more time for all of our listeners once again, so they can just know where to go to read you if they didn't hear it earlier, or if they're just jumping in. And especially now that they probably heard wrestling, maybe some more people are like, wait, wrestling? Let's go.
Yeah. So if you are a Patriots fan or you just enjoy reading a Patriots news, I don't know, maybe you do. I have a giant Bills fan that reads everything I put out. So, hey, you can go to musketfire.com, and I'll be posting there all the time. You can also follow them on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. It's just musket_fire. I'll be posting about a podcast live stream soon. And then if you want to listen to me ramble about all my favorite wrestlers and whine about how much I can't stand Roman Reigns, then follow my YouTube channel. You can basically search Sarah Marshall. You can search Pitts and Sarah's wrestling show for now as well. So we should pop up, and we will be streaming possibly tomorrow. We'll see. Otherwise, we'll be updating while we're at WrestleMania.
I got it right now. I just hit that subscribe button, so I'm
Thank
in
you.
And loaded. I gotta ask you, if Cody loses again, does he just not renew and go back to AEW?
Oh my God! I've literally said I'm like such a big Cody fan, like going back to when he was in Legacy, and I was like, if he loses, I would advocate for him to go back to AEW. Like, I don't want to see that happen, but, like, if they have this man lose again, I'm like, what more is he supposed to do to, like, prove that he should be the guy at this point? Like, Roman doesn't show up. Cody is spending an hour after shows meeting fans, talking about going to dudes' weddings and wedding, you know, birthday parties for four-year-olds. Like, what are we doing? So, yeah, I really hope so. I really hope he wins. That would be pretty cool.
We were me and my co-host from our wrestling show, when he called me Wednesday, because he's like, oh my god, did you watch that Swerve and Takeshita match? And I was like, hell yeah, you know, that was incredible, yada yada. And then we started breaking down this and talking about it. And I remember he's like, what's your craziest prediction going to happen? I said, they're going to screw Cody over again. The Rock's going to kick Triple H out of power. And Paul Levesque's going to go to AEW with Cody.
Oh, my God.
I'm just, oh, there it is.
That's
throwing
what nightmares are made of. Please no. Please no. Oh.
So if that happens, you remember where you were at 8 o'clock your time on March 29th.
Yes. For real.
Oh, I love it. Hey, thanks again for coming on here. We're into overtime, so we're going to wrap up. But we'll definitely reach out and have to have you back. And as we've been telling everybody, you know, everybody the first time we have them on, and our regulars that we've had on, April 25th, the day before the draft, if you're not busy and around, we're going to be running a live show like we do everywhere. And if you're free, we'll have you come on and pick at three for the Patriots, as we have everybody call in that writes for the teams, do all the picks. So we can talk more about it as we get closer. But just keep that little tidbit in the back of your mind. If you're free, we want you to come on and draft for New England.
Okay, awesome. I'd love to. Yeah, so just we can talk.
Perfect. We'll be in touch. And thanks again, Sarah. Appreciate you coming on. I hope you have a good rest of your evening. All right.
Thanks, guys. It was nice to meet you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Again, Sarah Marshall coming in. We got wrestling out of this. I didn't know we were going to get wrestling, Elijah.
Don't forget her. I was going to ask her if I could make a joke about forgetting Sarah Marshall, but she made the joke herself. So,
which is fantastic. Great interview. Great interview, by the way, too. I won't say names, but a lot better than some of our other Patriots interviews we've had. And the best part was, she's like, I go off of a lot when I read, and she just studies. And it was better than most that we've had for that team. So kudos. I think, Elijah, since we did half of our mock, next week we don't have another one. Why don't we just unveil the rest of it next week?
You don't want to finish?
Well, let's save it, because then Luke can jump in next week with his. And it gives us some more content in between. You know what I'm saying? Because you know we're going to need to talk draft anyway. And I'm already getting the red light from Blog Talk that they're going, hey, we let you and Alex talk for 4 hours. You're not getting it on two shows.
Oh, no. I don't know Blog Talk does that.
They usually let us go a lot longer than we're supposed to, and right now it's flashing at me.
Fuck Blog Talk.
But, hey, look, and I'll leave us with the one and only Matthew from Botchamania. I'm just going to play this just because I see it on there. And I don't know if you've ever heard this, Elijah, but I think if you know the context of it, you're going to laugh really hard. So right before we wrap up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the best. You've heard the greatest. They're currently offline because it's an issue of iTunes, something about a hack. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen, for your ears only, WrestleCast Radio. EWI sucks.
EWI, is that the video game?
No, we had Matthew from Botchamania without telling him to do that. But he remembered from seeing Demetrius on Botchamania. He recognized Demetrius from Botchamania. EWI was Mercer's company.
Oh, Lord, that's right.
And we
the
didn't
Sage
tell him
King.
To say that. This is when we met him at StarCast. We were there for All In when we did Podcast Row. He sat down with us. He did the interview, and he's like, I remember you. And he pointed at Demetrius, and he's like, what? And he's like, you did that dive, mate, over the top rope and caught your knee and hit your face on the ground. We're like, holy shit, he remembers Demetrius' botch because it was on Botchamania. And he sat down and chilled with us. And it was right before we had MJF, of all people, too. MJF was in the opener losing to M-Dog 20, the guy from those old Backyard Wrestling DVDs.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Boy, did they. And then all of a sudden he became a star. But yeah, that was an interesting weekend, to say the least. Buff Bagwell thought Demetrius was the door guy, the bellhop.
What? So Demetrius is like, I'm going to go smoke. So he goes outside, and I told Demetrius and Alex, I'm like, when we're on podcast row, you guys got to wear suits. If you don't want to wear a suit, then don't sit down and do radio with me, but we're going to look better than everybody here. So they're like, all right, fine. We're not going to argue. We'll wear suits. So Demetrius goes outside to smoke, and he's got his nice suit on. He's got a WrestleCast shirt out of the suit, and he's standing right out in front, kind of off the curb and in the little divider at the hotel, the Hyatt Regency we were at for the convention. And Buff Bagwell pulls up, and he gets out of the car, and he looks at Demetrius. He's like, hey, how's it going, man? And Demetrius is like, oh, good. How you doing, Buff? He's like, good, good. He's like, bags are in the back. And Demetrius goes, I don't work here. And he goes, oh, my bad.
What Buff Bagwell should have said after he's like, I don't work here, you should have been like, get my bags. Get my bags.
Scott Steiner was totally there too. He kept trying to pay someone to go to Panda for him because he wanted Chinese. And he ended up giving some belt mutant dude a free Scott Steiner Albert Einstein math shirt to go get him Panda.
I'll give you this free shirt if you go give me Panda Express.
Hey, you give me Panda Express, I give you a t-shirt, huh? That was it.
Fuck you.
And then after we left, this is all in the same like day here, MJF is just sitting on a chair, and some guy's like, he's like, oh, Master Jacob Friedman, you're going to be a big star one day, because AEW hadn't started yet. And he was in MLW at the time, and the guy's like, whatever. He's like, what the hell do you want, Mark? And he's like, I just want to get a picture, man. He's like, you got to buy my shirt if you want a picture. And he goes, I don't have any cash. And he goes, all right. He goes, give me your phone. So he takes the phone from the guy, and he's like, get the fuck over here. And the guy's like, oh, sorry. The guy goes over and bends over, and he takes a picture of the two of them, doesn't smile or nothing, just gives a half-assed look, like whatever. And then he does a couple more things on his phone, and then he hands the guy the phone, and the guy starts walking away. He's like, hey. And he turns around, and he, like, overhand throws a rolled up with a piece of tape over it t-shirt that's got the size of the t-shirt. It's like a double XL. And the guy's like, what are you giving me this for? He's like, I told you I wouldn't take a picture without you buying a shirt. He's like, I told you I didn't have any cash. He's like, I just Venmo'd myself. So MJF just decided to Venmo himself $20 and then gave the guy a shirt and took a picture with him.
That's fucking funny.
I was crying. And he kind of looked over and saw us. I'll kind of watch it. And he kind of gave that like little smirk, like, this tight ain't it. Like, hell yeah. Then we left because we were going to try to like ruin it. But that was fun. That was a good time. Elijah, thank you for tonight. I had a good time. Great show.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Some great interviews. Travis Wakeman, Carlos Sanchez, Sarah Marshall, all coming on, giving us great content. And hopefully we have them all back for the draft.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
Which would be really nice. With that being said, it's time to skedaddle. Elijah, I will talk to you, I'm sure, very soon. Or if you get on Xbox, I'm going to be on there. But have a wonderful evening, sir. Thank you once again for your time.
I'm going to bed.
Well, you go to bed and make sure, in the words of Nia Jax, I'm home. Just so we play it.
I'm on that old man shit.
That's okay. We're going to have the one and only Ken Oka from Pro Wrestling Basara lead us out tonight, boys. Have a good one, y'all.
Well, I really don't know how to say it, but I guess I love you.
Hello there, this is the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan, and you are listening to WrestleCast Radio. Hope you guys are having a good day. God bless.
Sportscast Radio. We are out. We'll see you next week.